Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart Scott was on First Take this morning, ambling his way down the hallway at the studios in Seaport. And he will be putting on the headset, sitting down with us momentarily. So we certainly look forward to that. And you know you're all going to hear him because it's going to be like this. He's going to hear all this stuff and then, you know, and then he'll just start saying stuff and hopefully he won't curse. We got the dump button ready just in case. But we've got lots of news today. So great. DeMar Hamlin news has been very positive today. So he FaceTimed with his Bills teammates this morning. Speaking. Good sign. Obviously the breathing tube out, breathing on his own. All positive things. So again, each day, positive news on that front. That's good. Big NFL news, of course. And right at this moment, so we'll have the latest for you. At this moment, the competition committee for the NFL is meeting. They're having their own meeting right now, a Zoom meeting, discussing a plan that has been outlined already in some reports about how they will go forward with the schedule. The league has already said they're not going to play the Buffalo-Cincinnati game. That's not going to be finished. And so now what do they do going forward? There has to be a three-quarter vote to pass this, and that's what this meeting that is taking place at this moment right now among the competition committee, among NFL owners, that is happening now. So the minute we get official word on what's going to happen next or what has been approved, we will get it to you. Now, does it affect any of the local teams? It does not. But it's still, of course, the NFL. We care. So, like I said, once we get it, we will pass it along to you. But one thing we did hear or do have confirmed locally is that we will not see Zach Wilson this season. But he is finished. He's not going to play. Mike White is not healthy enough to play. So, Joe Flacco is going to get the start in the final game in Week 18 against the Dolphins, in a game that still matters to the Dolphins. So, who is the backup? Well, Zach Wilson's the backup, but some of the things that Robert Saleh has said this morning, and we'll get you more of the sound on that, is that Mike White is in a lot of pain. It's affecting his ability to throw the football, and that for Zach Wilson, who is the backup going with Flacco, Saleh just saying he wants Zach Wilson just to focus on next season. Bart's there with us right now. Bart Scott.
Sir, Brother Noomsy, I'm trying to take the bow tie off. I was choking myself today.
Yeah, I did notice you went bow tie Bart today.
Yeah, I went Sir, Brother Noomsy.
you had had it with some of the fire you've been getting social media.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but
I only can take so much.
I hear you.
I don't usually pay attention to social media, but if you won't smoke, I run up chimneys. I don't run away from smoke.
Well, you're John Moran all of a sudden.
I'm just trying to be professional, but I can be an asshole.
Well, you looked good on First Take, and with the bow tie was great. Your thoughts on your former teammate, Joe Flacco, starting instead of Zach Wilson with Mike White, not healthy enough to make this final appearance of the season.
It explains a lot, man. I went over there to do my show with SNY, and it was like, what's going on with your squad? Mike White was a little testy at his press conference. That doesn't sound like a guy that wasn't ready to play or that couldn't play. It sounded like, you know, the actions of a guy that might be a little upset that, you know, he's getting set down. And, you know, for all our fans out there, you know, I keep it a buck. And you ask yourself, why would they sit Mike White after saying he was going to be the starter?
Right.
And you have to understand the scenario as well. Mike White is a free agent. And you saw guys like Derek Carr get set down. You saw Jadeveon Clowney go out on Instagram saying, I doubt 95% if I'll be back. He got sent home.
That's something.
Because that's usually what happens. Because what happens is if you get hit or you get hurt and Mike White has ribs that's not really healed and he gets those ribs cracked or broken, you got to pay an injury settlement. You can't cut a hurt player without compensation.
Yes.
So you have to make those tough decisions. And that's why I said, you know, I was wondering who else wouldn't play. Right? I was wondering, hey, does this mean that, you know, Dwayne Brown won't play? Do you start strategically sitting guys like Sheldon Rankins because, you know, his contract's up, he's going to be a free agent, and you usually cover that with, hey, we're going to evaluate some other guys on the team because, you know, just the economics of everything, having to play Quinnen Williams, you already have one of the most expensive defensive lines, and this before you secure the bag for Quinnen Williams. You know, those are the decisions that has to be made. And Flacco looked like the last thing that he wanted to do last time we saw him was play a game of football. Now, maybe it's a little better for his bones, the fact that he's going to be out and it's going to be probably 70 to 80 degrees. But, I mean, you can talk about
get
we call this the backup bowl. Can you talk about
but Skylar like, Thompson, future? Yeah, they just announced Skylar Thompson will get the start for the Dolphins.
The backup bowl.
Yeah. This is a like, QB3 bowl.
Okay, listen, this is what we've come to expect with the Jets, right? We understand, okay, well, the Jets, you know, can't, you know, aren't playing for anything. The Dolphins are going into it with their third-string quarterback, which the Jets beat already this year.
Mm.
And their playoff life is on the line for a team that made a receiver the highest-paid receiver in football.
Yep.
That went out and gave up their first-round draft pick mid-season for Bradley Chubb and pushed every chip that you can possibly push into the middle of the table.
Yeah.
And it's coming down to the third-string quarterback.
Man.
In the words of, what's his name, Leslie Nielsen in Taken? Good luck.
Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah, when he was in Taken, when he said.
Liam Neeson, I think you meant.
But okay, well.
Leslie Nielsen was funnier than
Liam
Neeson.
Oh, yeah, I like him. Naked Gun 2.5. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Close enough.
It's all right.
Good luck.
It was a great reference, though. Some of the stuff that Salas said in regards to why he's starting Flacco, you know, I mean, again, as I said the other day, I mean, don't you want to just
– well, a better draft pick?
I'll tell you what, though.
Did he say that?
Yeah. No, this is what you referenced.
Good luck.
That's what you meant. Leslie Nielsen wasn't funny in that line, but, you know, he's usually very funny. But here's Salas just talking about the decision to start Joe Flacco.
It's more – you know, give Joe this opportunity, but also with Zach, you call it coach's decision. I want to stay firm with him and make sure that he gets to attack this offseason. And I just want to get him to the offseason so we can start and attack the plan that we've been building. Putting him out there right now, it's not going to do him any good. It's not going to do anyone any good. For him, for Zach, it's all about 23.
All right, before we get into him talking about what it won't do any good for Zach, Joe Flacco wants an opportunity. What's the opportunity, Bart?
I mean, that's what Joe said? Joe said that?
No, you just heard, didn't you? Were you not listening?
Yeah. I thought we had a direct quote from Joe.
No. Salas said, for Joe, I wanted to give him the opportunity. Opportunity to do what? Man, I got a vacation scheduled. I don't want to be in a walking boot.
Or in the treatment room. Listen, players hate because, listen, you get hurt that last game. You can't even do nothing. You got to stay there and go through your treatment plan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Right?
Like, yo,
you said
like,
the
yo,
family's
I'll,
down there.
Like, yo,
everybody
self-heal.
Goes on this trip.
Like, yo, I'll self-heal, man. Don't even worry about it.
That's right.
I'll go to urgent care.
Hey,
if something
how many times is he going to throw it at the sideline?
Yo,
like how
ball,
many?
That,
how
no,
many?
That,
like
that, that he'll ball's
never
coming
burp,
out quick.
He's never burping the baby, and he's probably going to throw it at the sideline more than he's like. How many sideline targets are we going to see in this game?
He's going to throw the ball like Roethlisberger did his last year. It's going to be the laces.
In the
he's even going to touch the laces
in the ground. In the ground.
Nah, they just going to cut a screen hook. Like, man, wait, we got a deep ball, deep route. Nah. Hot route. Come on up.
It's crazy.
Come on out that break, dog.
Now again, all right. So the second part of this is what. Salas saying about Zach Wilson, which is they've got an offseason plan and they want to get him like focused on that, and that putting him out there is not going to do him any good and not going to do anyone any good.
Is that also,
Garrett Wilson still has a shot at rookie of the year. Like, we got some guys that want to get some catches out here.
I mean, does Zach agree with the plan?
For him,
that's the
it
thing.
Sucks.
This is the thing. Does Zach agree with the plan?
Yeah, does he want to play?
He's been set. No. Agree
I'd love
with
to
the plan.
Hear.
I'm talking about the plan in the offseason. Like, we'll know that Monday when it's garbage back.
Do we really know the plan? And by the way, if,
that's what I'm saying.
If Flacco's bad, can't you see that? I know Wilson is considered the backup. Streveler is going to be on the. Don't you think Streveler's going to be activated?
Exactly. And Elijah Moore is the emergency fourth string quarterback.
Damn. Like, I could see. That would be the ultimate indignity. The ultimate indignity is like Flacco is just like literally making it clear, I don't want to be out here. I'm throwing it into the turf over and over again if these guys don't protect me. And then they go, all right, well let's get a dual threat guy, which really, Streveler's not really a dual threat because we've seen him throw.
Yeah.
We know he's got great legs.
He's a single threat.
He probably should throw with his other arm, maybe. It could be better. But the point is that I could see them going to him in a game like this that really doesn't mean anything for you. It means everything for the Dolphins.
That's why I don't know why Strebler wasn't the second quarterback and just keep Zach down.
Just don't even dress him, right? Don't even dress him.
Because now what happens if Flacco goes down and you're looking at Zach and you're like, nah, Zach, we're going to go Strebler. Then what the hell am I dressed for?
Right. I went through all this trouble.
Now you're going to embarrass me in front of everybody. What am I dressed for?
Yeah.
Like Flacco get hit the ground, he might just grab his head and then you know, the spotter like, nope, get him out of there. Just understand where we at now.
Here's what happens.
The stadium that Tua plays in. So, like, I bet you that neurological spotter is out there. And if Flacco goes down and touches his helmet, if he's hit his head, they're going to be a little bit more aggressive saying, you know what, let's put him to the tent. Then you got to put Zach in.
This would be great, right? So, let's say something happens with Flacco. He can't finish the game. Zach Wilson grabs his helmet and Robert Saleh.
Go read a book. Go do something.
Oh, man. Come on. Oh, we in our bag today with our drops.
Just like, I can't believe he said that, though.
And this is
I can't believe he said that.
Bro, this is so late, too.
All right.
Bro, it's Friday.
Yeah. Well, I guess they tried to play Mike White and they just realized that he was in too much pain. So here's more on the Wilson thing, though. Because for the Jets, I mean, I guess the first step is to admit you did something wrong, admit you screwed up, right? Isn't that kind of the first step is to say, yeah, we've got a problem. Like, we didn't do this right. And so listen to Mike LaFleur, who's also kind of learning as a play caller, right? He's still going through his own development as an offensive coordinator. It's LaFleur yesterday talking about Zach Wilson and – you know, maybe they rushed things with the number 2 overall pick.
I use the example of what's going on in Green Bay right now. Obviously, it was Brett Favre, Aaron Sapp for 4, I think 5 years, and Jordan Love's kind of going through it right now. And I'm not there at practice. I can just go off of the words what I hear, but just how much improvement he's had through 3 years, you know, of sitting there watching Aaron going through the scout team and all that. And that was his path. That is his path, and we'll see what holds, you know, for Jordan. Similar to Zach, you know, in hindsight, it probably would have benefited, you know, just to sit back and learn a little bit and watch a veteran and do it and just kind of grow. You know, in this league, kind of in the back seat watching and getting better in practice and getting better in through scout team and all that. But again, that wasn't the course that we went. And, you know, from here, we got to pick it up. We got to pick up the scraps and we got to get back to work.
Excuse me. I know sometimes I forget something. I'm like Dory. But when Aaron Rodgers.
Short-term memory loss?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, no. When Aaron Rodgers was sitting.
He was sitting behind a Hall of Famer.
Wasn't they winning?
And yeah, they were doing that.
So now that Jordan Love is sitting,
mm-hmm.
hasn't Green Bay been winning?
Yes.
Like 13-3, 13-3?
Yeah.
If we sit Zach Wilson, who the hell is playing?
Well, I think what he's saying is.
It's too late for that.
You remember last year, we flipped out about this. So here's a rookie quarterback, you take him number 2, and you did not have a quality veteran quarterback. They kept trying to sell us that, well, Josh Johnson, you know, he's a good veteran in this league. Man, come on now. Like they didn't, and then in, what was it, a couple of weeks into the season, that's when they got Joe Flacco, right? Isn't that when they realized, like, all right, we kind of need an adult in the room?
Right.
They brought in Joe Flacco, right? It's like, so. They realize they didn't have somebody and they should have. And I've always said this. I never understood the idea that I draft a quarterback, number 1, number 5, whatever it is, top 10, and he's got to play right away. Why? It never makes sense. Ever. I just give him a year to just figure it out. Patrick Mahomes sat for a whole year and it did him well.
But I discussed with you. You know, the difference in the successful quarterbacks who play at a young age and the unsuccessful ones. And we have 3 examples right here with the Jets.
Yes.
Mark Sanchez, one-hit mm-hmm. wonder.
Well, Sanchez was benefited by you guys.
No,
and he never
no.
developed.
I'm talking about his collegiate career.
Oh. I'm just saying as far as playing him right away, it worked because the roster was so damn good,
but
he never developed into what he could have developed. Sam Darnold, clearly
too
like
early.
Just too soon, too
same
much,
school.
And not enough talent around him.
And high expectations.
Right.
Because
and
of what
Zach
Marquette
Wilson,
because what a, because of what Marquette does.
So why do we keep making the same mistake?
I don't know. I said that yesterday. It's an example of insanity.
So question.
Because when you think about Kenny Pickett, Kenny Pickett's old as hell.
Yes.
He played a lot of football.
Yeah.
You think about Joe Flacco when he came in.
Mm-hmm.
He had went to Pitt and he had went to Delaware.
Trevor Lawrence
State,
played a lot of college.
Right. You look at Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Right. They've been on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Deshaun Watson.
Joe Burrow
been
came
on the
in
scene.
As a 30-year-old with three kids and a mortgage.
That's why he was smoking the cigars
exactly.
when he won a national championship. And nobody said nothing.
Right.
Nobody said, put that out.
Right.
What about put it out? I'm a grown-ass man.
That's right. Legit.
Like, legit. He came in the league older than Lamar Jackson.
Yep. And there are certain guys that can do it because they've got a lot of reps at the college level.
A lot of experience.
And the guys who don't, it takes them a long time and it can affect – your ability. And the Jets just seem to do this.
You can break
them. Yes. And the Jets just see. Look, Chad Pennington. Chad Pennington sat. And when Chad Pennington was called upon, he was ready. Why? Because he was behind vets.
Carson Palmer set.
I mean, it just.
He sat behind.
So why
Kendall.
Do we rush them then, Bart? Why? Because of the 5-year contract thing? Give me a break.
I have no idea.
So here's an example.
Lamar Jackson sat behind who? Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, right. Until Flacco got hurt. Now,
and he won a Heisman.
And now again, LaFleur at least, and Sal, at least admitting, you know what? We didn't handle this right. So that's saying we can't put all the blame on the kid. We've got to take some accountability on how we did this, and we've got to get it right. I'm okay with that. I think, all right, at least they're acknowledging that. But here's the question. Again, 800-919-3776 to get the calls rolling here on a Football Friday. Bart, I know how you feel. But I also know how a lot of people feel that are Jets fans. And this is a simple question. Okay, so they're acknowledging what the problem was or is, that they are part of the problem of why their quarterback situation is a mess. Should we trust them to fix it?
Well, it takes a big...
trust them to fix it? That's the question I'm asking Jets fans.
Mm.
Do you trust the idea? Because I saw Rich Cimini did a podcast. He said, and I think Brian Costello covers the team, obviously a long time for the Post, all saying the same thing. These guys should get another year. That Woody Johnson should not, on Monday, because we know what happens this Monday, we know what they call Monday. It's Black Monday. This is where we start seeing coaches are fired, GMs are fired. It's a tough day in the NFL. Woody Johnson, should he be aggressive on Monday and say, these guys screwed us up, screwed up our quarterback situation, I need new people in here? Or do we give everyone, Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, Mike LaFleur, do we give them all another year to fix this mess? 800-919-3776 is the number. What do you think, Bart?
I think you have to. I mean, because you saw the offense perform at a high level when – other quarterbacks was there. So it's not the plays that's being called, but they have to do a better job in seeing what their quarterback does well. At the same time, bringing in competition, legitimate competition, because at the end of the day...
Competition or somebody that is a legit starter so that instead of competition, it's there's no pressure on you, Zach. You're not supposed to start.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, if Zach can raise up his play
right.
in year three, then...
Let's do it.
But if you bring in the wrong guy, it's no shot for him to do that. I mean, you bring in Tom Brady, you bring in Derek Carr, it's no way that Zach gets an opportunity at the job.
But why is that a bad thing?
Well, if you bring in Brady, you can because Brady's a short-term solution.
Right, but that's
you bring in a guy like Derek Carr that's 31 years old.
But you see, you still have the mindset of microwaving this thing. If Zach Wilson sits as the backup quarterback all of next season because your starter is good enough to get you to the playoffs and reach the potential that this team maybe people think could have, there's nothing wrong with that. There's still 2 years left on his contract. It's okay.
Well, technically,
why do we have to say, well, now he can't compete for the job? Maybe he shouldn't. Maybe take that pressure off him of having to be the guy and let him have the ambition to say, no, I'm showing up and I'm competing for the job. Good on you. Let's see if you can.
Is he on for that? Is he? But to have a plan, he has to be on board with it. Like, is he going to go work with his quarterback coach this offseason, or is he going to subscribe to the plan? He needs to be here with them. Not going back to BYU.
Don't you think that's up to him?
But if the plan, no. But if the plan is to be on board, are we going to have a plan? It hasn't involved everybody.
All right. Momentarily, we'll get to your calls here. But I do want to ask you, though, if you want to relive, do you want to relive on the Michael K. Show 20th anniversary? Of course you do. Well, you can catch the unplugged segments of on the ESPN New York app. Download the free ESPN New York app. I've got it on my phone. It's awesome. It's easy. You can find everything on there. You scroll down to the unplugged tile, and you can enjoy episodes 1 and 2 live now. It's brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games like Powerball and Mega Millions on your phone. Did you see how much Powerball and Mega Millions are at right now?
You know, I do have it on my phone, by the way. I only play when it gets up to this part.
Yeah, yeah. It's time. I think it's time as a show we play.
I want to retire you. That's all.
Yeah, that'd be great. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using the code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. You want to hear from the people's part?
I love the peoples.
Let's hear from the peoples right now at 800-919-3776. We go to Brooklyn. We talk to Jose. What's happening, Jose?
How's it going, Alan? How's it going, Bart?
Good.
Good.
Good, good. Now, I wanted to pretty much answer your question as far as as a Jet fan, I would give the benefit of a doubt to Salah and the coaching staff and Douglas, because I don't think they've done perfect on every phase, but mm-hmm. I think that they've done well enough to, you know, deserve another year and even possibly fix up the mistakes, because I'm one of those of the notion that I feel like Zach Wilson was kind of forced on. And I don't really I knew just pretty much sitting on my couch watching the games, there were just a lot of other better options. Like seeing what Brock Purdy turned out to, I was just like, I remember watching him at Iowa State, and I was like, there's no way Zach Wilson's a better prospect than this kid, and pretty much be proven right.
Isn't that depressing, Jose? I mean, that's the part that's depressing, is you're watching other quarterbacks. But again, Brock Purdy played. Like, Zach Wilson doesn't really have a lot of experience even at NYU. For you to say, like, all right, BYU, well, he's got a BYU, NYU. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if he had, like, a lot of tape, you're like, wow, he hasn't pretty – what did he have, the one game that everybody was excited about?
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially
–
right.
Which is why –
take your time with
him. Which is why it annoyed me how they handled that draft, because I felt like that draft was kind of overhyped. It was a two quarterback top 10, you know, year, and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and the others were kind of pretty much escalated and elevated. And
to me,
really,
I think
Jose, but here's the crazy thing, Jose. San Francisco's in the same position, but they just got it right on the other one, because Trey Lance isn't ready to play. That's why they signed back Jimmy G, because he wasn't ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's the same thing. He just doesn't have the experience. He's raw talent.
Yeah.
And you can't win in this league when it's not anything you can depend on. You can't just have raw talent. You have to be able to play the position. And there's a lot more to do than that than what you do physically.
Thanks, Jose. Appreciate the call. Let's get more on this. We got, let's see, out to the island, to Beth Page with Matt. What's happening, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Yeah, I can't complain. I've been a Jets fan for the last 30 years, forced into it, you know, born into that sort of thing. I personally think that Salah and crew should get another year. They are actually, believe it or not, if you look at the season as a whole, it's trending positively. The season before was what, 4-13 or something like
mm-hmm.
that?
Oh, yeah.
14, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
These games that we won, we had really shouldn't have won. They were ugly ground-out wins that came out in the last second. But we never physically looked dominant. And we never really looked dominant because we were so decimated by injuries.
Right.
The fact that we put up as great of a start as we did just showed that we were really overplaying our hand.
So you feel it was overachieving? So you're saying, Matt, like, this team probably overachieved at times this year, played above what anybody would expect them to play this year.
Well, beating Buffalo is the big one, right? Because you beat a starting quarterback. And what the naysayers would say is the Jets only beat two starting quarterbacks. But one of them is maybe the MVP of the league, with arguably the Super Bowl favorite in the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt, for the call. I mean, I like the fact that most of the fans feel like I've seen enough progress, and they feel – and I think that, again, reasonably, when you look at this team, if they can just figure out the quarterback position, they'll be a playoff team next year. There's every reason to believe they could be. And in the meantime, there's no reason to cut loose Zach Wilson. You have time to spend on him, and whatever the physical talents you saw that had potential, I don't think you need to rush it. Find somebody else that can handle the starting position, and on the side, you know, again, flight school, whatever you want to call it, just work with him. And maybe, just maybe, in a year, he'll turn into exactly what you thought he would. He's on his own timeline. I just don't feel like you have to get rid of him. But I do think you better have a plan that he is not your starter next year and hope that he just, you know, does something that makes you realize, all right, well, I guess he is. Like you said, it was, what was it, in Seattle when they drafted Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Mike Flynn.
Right. They never put Mike Flynn was supposed to be the guy. And then they realize, no, this guy's better. And that's it. That's a good problem to have.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
103.5 The Gout.
So this would be on the gout? This
yes.
one?
This is, yes. All Biggie.
But you just said that Biggie and Tupac were the line of demarcation for the station.
That's what I'm saying. So if you was rocking with them.
Do you think that Hurley and Winthrop would allow you and I to do like a The Gout? Like spin-off show, like what? Like I mean, nobody's listening. Like Sunday night. Like couldn't we do something like after Larry Hardesty?
Yes.
Do like an hour show where it's like we talk sports but we play hip hop.
Yes.
Like only hip hop that would be on The Gout.
Yes.
Can we get away with that?
I think we could. I mean, they're always trying to fill programming.
You know what I mean?
Listen, like this, and it can be live and it can be podcast all at the same time, and then we can get some of the members. We get some of the people from The Gout
to
call in.
We get Q-Tip, big Jets fan, right?
Yeah.
We get Chuck D, huge Knicks fan, right? We can get
we get
celebrities
Adam Sandler.
From
we get
that.
Adam Sandler, wedding singer.
Yeah, oh, that'd be hilarious. We can get Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
Like Tracy loves us.
All hip-hop stuff.
You know what I mean? Like that would be hilarious.
And what we do is we talk about the influence because I feel like every season has a soundtrack, right? We always remember when our team won, what the soundtrack, what the popular song
what was
what the vibe was, whether it was mumble rap, whether it was hardcore
rap. Nobody remembers mumble rap. Nobody.
But what I'm saying is we got to add them in because they're part of The Gout. You know what I mean?
So I like it.
So like we talk about Renegade, who won when Renegade dropped with Jay-Z and Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about, you know, Ether, when that dropped.
Oh. Yes.
Talking about where You Must Learn, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Back
you must
when
learn
Jerry
was like, You Must Learn was when like Bernard King went for 60 at the
That's what
Christmas
I'm saying.
Day.
Every season has a soundtrack.
I like it. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's continue with the calls. Let's go to Huntington. Talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
So I'm calling in to ask you guys a question about the Jets situation. Obviously, I think we're all under the assumption they're going to move on from Zach Wilson, even though Sal is still not saying that to the public, but I think that's the general consensus. So my question is that if they bring in a guy like Jimmy G, you know, like a Tannehill, like a veteran quarterback, do you think they should, with the first round pick or first or second round pick, draft the quarterback and let him sit and learn and try and do it the right way this time? Is this a situation where they bring in the quarterback and they want to win right now and they got to spend that first or second round pick on a player to enhance the team right now? Thanks, guys.
The latter. No, that's what I say.
Listen, I love Don Juan LaGreca, but I think he was a little bit over his skis a little bit when he was talking about he believed that the general manager and these guys should be fired or could be fired or the different scenarios in which he brought up. I think, listen, they overexceeded expectations. Now, I feel like they got our expectations high, but if we would have said that the Jets would win 8 games or 7 games, we would have signed up for that, right? Because remember what the win total was before the season. It was 4.
Of course.
Right? So I understand all the outstanding circumstances. No Becton, no Vera Tucker, no Breece Hall. Right? Those are big things. And can they stay healthy? Because they haven't stayed healthy in recent years. Because last year was Becton and Carl Lawson. Right? This year was a little bit of Corey Davis. Right? You talk about, you know, losing Max Mitchell. You can't do anything about blood clocks. Right? What are you supposed to do? Right? But I think, you know, that they're ahead of schedule. And this offseason is going to be another offseason where if it's a guy that emerges like Tyreek Hill that's disgruntled and want out, they won't look at the Jets with the same, eh, no. Mm. Right? Because they're looking at the Jets like, now this is a functional organization. This is a team that was right there. Now, they fell short of their goal. But if you can't see the potential in the roster and the young, talented players that the Jets possess, then you're blind. You're Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, and all of them combined. You can't see.
The Jets?
Yeah. And listen, that's why I love the fact that you can send him home as well.
Yeah. I mean, look.
If they beat them, they got the same record as who? The Cheetah.
Yeah. Right. I'm not looking at that game win or lose, though. I can't. Honestly.
Yeah, because one of those what could have been. Would have, could have, should have.
Watching this game as a fan, I don't have Zach Wilson to watch and see. Like, give me something to believe in going into the offseason. I don't have that.
No. You
I don't
need
want
that.
Joe. I don't want. No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of times in these situations, you're looking at your team. All right, we're not in the playoffs. It's the last game of the year, but give me something for next year. And what do I have? I have Sauce Gardner, who, by the way, was on the morning show with the guys this morning.
Garrett Wilson.
And, you know, Garrett Wilson, who, I mean, is he going to – I mean, he's got Joe Flacco.
Oh, he got loose with Joe Flacco. Cleveland.
I know,
he got
but
busy
the offensive
with Joe Flacco.
Line has got to protect him so he can get those passes off. Like, Breece is already hurt. Like, there's nothing that I'm like, man, I'm fired up for next year because I'm watching these boys ball. Like, I don't feel that way. And I'm too old to care that, hey, well, at least we took the Dolphins with us. Whatever, man.
You know what they got? Ooh, they got so much money. Oh, they got so much money. I want anybody to tell me on a team who's the highest paid player on the team. I bet you if you asked them, they probably couldn't even figure out who the highest paid player on the team.
C.J. Mosley.
Right. But that's
you just said, I bet if you ask somebody, they won't be able to tell you.
I said most people. That's only $15 million.
Yeah.
That's only in a world where Aaron Rodgers makes $50 million.
Yep.
In a world where Trent Williams makes $100 million.
In a world.
In a world where Davante Adams makes $22 million.
Right.
Like the Jets don't got nobody like that. It could be Quinnen Williams, but guess what? Most teams got 5 or 6 or 7 players that do that.
Mm.
So the fact that the Jets have money,
but then you have to spend
and draft capital.
Then why can't you spend it on the quarterback position?
They will.
That's what you have to do.
They will, but they don't have to max out to get that. They don't need, like, the Jets don't need a all-pro MVP caliber quarterback to win. They just need somebody like Daniel Jones. They need somebody like Brock Purdy. They need a Kirk Cousins.
Derek Carr
is Kirk Cousins. Right? That's what they need. I'm saying they don't need a superstar.
The options aren't really great. There are really intriguing ones like we mentioned. We mentioned that, you know,
Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady.
You know, that's one that, like, you're like, wow, that would be
Ryan Tannehill, amazing. Derek Carr.
But there's probably the more obvious ones, which are like you just said. And I don't think you overlook Jimmy Garoppolo because, Kyle Shanahan, you know, they're all related. What? Robert Saleh certainly knows him. Like, why couldn't that be an option?
Well, guess what? That's 4 options.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 options. That's a lot of options. You rarely go into the offseason with 4 legitimate options. Ryan Tannehill, potentially. Tom Brady, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what Aaron Rodgers wants to do because he's always, like, kind of dragging us along. He doesn't know what his future. Maybe he's playing his last game in Lambeau Field, right? I'm not going to go into the Jameis Winston because I don't want people to get indigestion or acid reflux. I don't want nobody throwing up on me. You know what I'm saying? While they driving on their car.
It's lunchtime.
But I'm not even going to go with Andy Dalton or Tyrod Taylor.
No, come on. Like that's what I'm saying. That you can't go there.
But those are 4 good choices. Right. And guess what? Sam Darnold. Yes.
No, man.
I said it. Okay. I said it out loud. Hold up. Have you seen Sam
Darnold?
This
is not about Sam.
You can always come
home.
This
is not about Sam.
Geno Smith, you can always come home.
Once again.
These are free agents.
You can why would you do that?
You can always come home. Because guess what? What if the Seattle Seahawks say, you know what?
No.
We got that pick from Denver.
No.
We're going to take Bryce Young.
Listen,
what if they do that?
Listen to me.
That means Geno is available.
There's a lot riding on this group. All right? You said what Don said. Like, LaGreca, you know, feels like, you know, something could happen. That there's whispers and everything else that these guys are on thin ice. Now, I'm with you. I think stability is important.
Thin ice.
I'm just saying, because they failed the quarterback development part of it, didn't make the playoffs, Like, those are concerns. So, and the coach, you know, has had good moments in bed. The offensive coordinator has had good moments in bed. That's a reality, and a lot of fans are feeling this. And so, if we're trying to make a case for these guys to get another shot, you can't bring me Geno Smith and say, "Here's our guy."
I don't think
that works for me.
What second year quarterback is developed? Is Justin Fields developed? Have you seen him throw the ball?
I tell you I trust him a lot more than I trust Zach Wilson's development. Trevor Lawrence, I trust his more than I trust Zach Wilson.
He's been playing.
Mac Jones
back.
Got you to the playoffs already.
He's in disarray. He's been running. Listen, he had been playing well.
I think the fact that they don't have an offensive coordinator is why he's in disarray. Last year, he was fine.
He got benched by Bailey Zappi. Right? It's no second-year quarterback that's getting it done. We don't know where Trey Lance is. Justin Fields is pretty much just being a running back. He ran for 100 yards in the first quarter and got knocked out.
Man.
So it takes longer. If we're going to go down this road, Trevor Lawrence looks better of late. Remember what he looked like at the beginning of the season when he had 4 turnovers against the Eagles. Right? So, like, sometimes you got to put things in perspective that way. The good news is they got money and they got options.
Yeah, no, they do. And we still have to see what happens on Monday because we could say it, but it doesn't mean that the owner's feeling the same way. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll continue with your calls. Good news. I mean, excellent news. Great news on the DeMar Hamlin front. Some of the things that we're hearing about this morning, communication that he's having with his own teammates now at this point, all positive stuff. We'll share with you the latest on that situation. We continue with your calls. Lots to get to, of course. Herm Edwards. Chris Canty, by the way, in studio with us. This will be a lot of fun because there's always fireworks with Bart and Chris. What? You got some shade already?
No. As Hunks with Junk is moving our stuff out the studio.
Damn. Is that sad?
It's all in the hallway. I don't even think they wrapped it up with styrofoam or bubble wrap. They just threw it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the people run around.
You better wrap it up.
Wearing my helmet, okay.
Better wrap it up.
Okay.
They better wrap it up.
Yeah, man.
Are you going to be like walking out with the box full of stuff?
Yeah, I'm like the black teacher on Fist Fight.
Oh man,
when he's walking away with the box and he slipped on the baby oil that they had put in the thing.
Like how about
so sick of this?
Yeah, how about though? Like you're the cut player who they give a garbage bag to.
Oh, well, Monday, that's a reality. Garbage bag Mondays, and they always, the media is always there to try and get one of these pictures of you with this lonely, dragging a bag with this dumb look on your face.
There goes Bart, the Bart and Han show. Rip. Yeah. There he goes, dragging the Yoda. Right? Our Lego guys that they made for us. So sad. It's a good run, Bart. It's a good run. New York's got us now, though. You got us at 800-919-3776.
We better find a TV to put our two sexy asses on.
We'll get to that. No doubt about it.
We like Sonny and Tubbs.
We sound better when you see us.
We like Sonny and Tubbs in this piece.
Yeah. Crockett and Tubbs. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tango and Cash.
Oh, I said Sonny. Sonny was his other name. It was Sonny, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Sonny Crockett, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just like Leslie Nielsen. And Liam.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Each day we get better news about DeMar Hamlin, by the way. So the breathing tube has been removed. He's speaking now, which is, again, phenomenal. Progressing his progress. It says that he continues to progress remarkably in his recovery, according to the doctors at University of Cincinnati Medical Center in a statement that came through the Bills. Neurological function remains intact. And again, as I said, he's speaking now, which is unbelievable. He FaceTimed with his teammates, Bart.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he was telling all his teammates this morning, love you boys. Just get choked up.
Yeah, and he flexed for him, too. And he did the things and the mannerisms that he's known for only with that team, man. Hit him with the thumbs up.
Yep.
And, you know, I kind of talked about this earlier, man. That's what we all was waiting for when we saw him go down. We were waiting for that symbolic thumbs up, which, you know, lets us know as a football team that it's okay to move forward.
Now, moving forward is what the NFL is trying to do. Right now, they're having a conference call with the competition committee to decide if they're going to move forward with a plan that has been outlined right now. But, you know, we'll see if it is passed. one dissenting voice, which is saying you don't play that final game. And I guess one of the plans is that if you play – so like if the Ravens would win the division if the Bengals lose. And the Ravens would then get the division, the home game.
Yeah, a coin toss.
Yeah, I said what it is, a coin toss. Right, I'm sorry. There's a lot of details here that are hard to explain.
Because we've never had to explain them. I don't think they know.
But it's interesting because the Bengals are saying we're not agreeing to this, which I understand for several reasons. One, why would I want to agree to something that puts my team,
And it comes down to a coin toss?
Goes against my team.
That's a matter of luck.
But never mind that. Think about the money. Like the business side of this thing. I don't have a home playoff game now.
That's
you
why.
Get it? Shouldn't that, they split the gate? Like, they should at least split the gate.
Well,
because that's a lot of money, man. That I'm turning
on neutral site.
What? No. Let the Ravens host, but we split the gate.
Okay, but then you also got to say, okay, if the Ravens host, I need equal tickets to Bills fans. It needs to be one side, just like a bowl game. One side, Bengals. So that's what I'm saying. That's why the easiest way is just to play the damn games. That's why I keep coming back to it. Because somebody's going to feel like, listen, nobody's been more gracious than the Cincinnati Bengals.
True.
At the end of the day, their player didn't get hurt. But they recognize and understand the severity and the uniqueness of this situation. But at the end of the day, they're saying, hey, we had an opportunity not just to host and win our division. We had an opportunity to be the number one seed. Why should we be so punished? We did nothing wrong. And now you're telling me that I may have to come back and play because if they would have beat the Bills, then they would have won a division. So the game against the Ravens means nothing. So you mean to tell me I could have beat the Bills because I was leading that game and this game wouldn't have mattered, and all of a sudden not only do I lose the division, but I got to come on the road and play 2 weeks in a row against the Ravens? That's an advantage for them.
Right.
Like, how is that fair to us? And we had an opportunity to be the number one seed and get a bye. And have it go through us if we won our last two games. So everybody's going to have a gripe. And the gripe that the gripe is Miami has a gripe too. Because if you just cancel the game and the Bills lose to the Patriots because they have nothing to play for.
Right.
Then the Patriots get to the playoffs and I just gave up a first-round draft pick. I spent a crap load of money on the number one receiver in the game. I just went in and had a hell of a draft, and I don't go to the playoffs. I could get fired. I could be on the hot seat.
Well, there's that. You know, there's also that aspect of it. So again, like the way the plan is, this is the plan. It still has to be approved, and it has to be 24 of the 32 teams. So say again, 3/4 that have to approve this, and they're having the Zoom meeting as we speak. At least they started in the 12 o'clock hour. We have not yet gotten any indication, and we'll tell you once we do, of anything that was approved or not. But the bottom line is like, if Buffalo and Kansas City both win or tie this weekend, Bills Chiefs championship game, if they reach it, AFC championship together, they'll play it at a neutral site.
So if they
both lose and Baltimore wins or ties, Bills Chiefs will be at a neutral site.
Come on, man. How are we doing that?
Like, if they both lose and Cincinnati wins, Bills or Bengals versus Chiefs, neutral site. So again, Cincinnati doesn't get a home game. They're not for it. You know, like that. Like that's a big deal. A championship game.
It's a lot.
That's
of money.
A big deal. So again, the neutral site thing comes into play. Where I said they're going to split the gate. You're losing money. This is a business. This is a business decision just as much as it is. Hey, this is our. We want our fans behind us and all that stuff. Like that part, I understand. You'd love to have it in your building with your fans and all that stuff. But a championship game, that's money. That's a right. business thing as well. How many times are the Bengals going to host a championship game?
Yeah.
And how many have they in the past? So it's a big deal.
They got their first playoff win last year.
Yeah.
In like 20, 30 years. So tell me this.
Katie Blackburn is by the way, the Bengals chief executive president, right? And she is... executive vice president, and she's on the competition committee. And so Seth Wickersham, who's done some reporting on this, got a memo, and it's Blackburn who urged teams to vote against it. And it's, again, it's the timing of the rule change away from, standard winning percentages that they use in this scenario. And it just feels like you're opening the door for something like this, that they should think a little bit differently.
Yeah, like I said, like also the monetary, like the NFL brings in a lot of money. Are you going to give them what they normally would get for that gate? Are you going to give?
She doesn't mention anything about the business, right? This is about the fairness. Not fair to teams and all that stuff. But this has to have. This is about money. This is about losing the gate.
Just play the game, then. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's not going to happen. They've already made it clear they're not doing that.
These teams are mom and pop organizations. Mm-hmm. A lot of these teams don't have a lot of money. Buffalo was a team that before was a family owned business.
Right.
Right. A lot of these places don't have that money. Like you think about the Steelers. They don't have that type of money. They don't have a big guy that's big in business outside. They don't have a Kraft. They don't have a Jerry Jones. They don't have a Johnson & Johnson.
Listen, they're all billionaires, though.
Not all of them, man.
Billionaires? Yes.
It's a family business. So that don't go to one group. That's spread out.
Mm.
Right? People don't realize that. Look, like Woody Johnson's son, brother is part owner. Like that's not just one single owner. Like David Tepper and I mean all those dudes, they got that cheese.
Well, I do know this, and that is that no matter what happens, the good news is that DeMar Hamlin is alive, speaking, communicating, and progressing in the right direction. That's the most important part of this. And then the season and the sport will continue this weekend because I think there's a lot, you know, the hearts are less heavy because of the good news that's come out of the hospital in Cincinnati.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.